In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed, because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello and welcome back to Betches Brides. We're your hosts. I'm Jordana Abraham.
I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And we have a very special guest today. A lot of you have asked us to bring on an expert in this field, and we are excited to have family lawyer Lee Grace Valagorsky, who's going to tell us everything you've ever wanted to know about prenups. Nicole, we get these emails like constantly in DMs, right? Asking us to talk
we
about
get
this.
Asks. It's so funny because yes, we're a bridal podcast. Yes, you guys, we focus on the topics leading into planning your wedding and the interpersonal issues that you're having with, you know, anything from family, planning your wedding, or with your fiance. But we've been getting so many questions lately about prenups and, you know, everything from like, should I consider getting one, or what do I do if my fiance asks me for one? So we've been getting, you know, those questions. So we'd love to talk to you about that.
My first question is for anyone who's not familiar with prenups, like what, can you explain like, what is a prenup?
Yeah.
And who should get them?
So, I mean, I'm flattered to be called an expert. I would definitely not say I'm by far an expert in any way, shape, or form. I am a family law attorney. My sole focus is family law, and within that falls prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. And they are something that I am a firm, firm believer of, have been since way before law school. They are just something that I think everybody needs to have. And they are not nearly as scary as people think they are. And they just have a bad reputation, I think. I think that's the problem, is that
right.
They have a bad rap that, 20, 30 years ago, a prenup was standard if you had the stereotypical wealthy husband and much younger wife. Who didn't work and didn't have a career and didn't have any money to herself. So that was like the standard where you would see a pretty standard prenup. And it got the bad rap that if you were that quote, you know, gold digger, you had to have a prenup. Now that's not the case. And they're not scary. And they're a really crucial document that everybody really needs to have. We just have to dust off the cobwebs and make them not so scary.
Well, in its simplest form, how would you describe a prenup?
So a prenup it's a prenuptial agreement, which is made prior to you getting married. And all it is a document that predetermines the distribution of property in the event that you get divorced or death. You can do both. You don't necessarily have to put the death part in there. If you get divorced.
If you have a will and a prenup, which one is like the means more? Like, what if they wind up being different?
Yeah, then it's kind of like the battle of the documents, you know, which one, you know, conflicts the other one out.
Interesting.
That's so interesting too, because I was like, obviously this podcast, we focus on like how to be happy with your significant other and how to have a wonderful marriage, but realistically, unfortunately, the divorce rate is so high. Right. And you truly never know. None of us truly know. Like, obviously, we put everything in place to be able to prep our marriage to make sure it's going to last forever, but you never know what could happen. So I hear you. And it's funny because, like you said, going back in time, it used to be like, oh, let me get a prenup to protect myself from this gold digging woman and stuff. Right. But now I feel like, are you seeing more like women who have accumulated their own wealth getting these prenups?
Absolutely. It actually, there's been a giant shift in who is obtaining prenups now. Since people are waiting to get married later, normally, you know, before people were getting married in their early 20s, and that was very standard. People are now having careers, especially women, and they're waiting longer to get married because they want to start their career. And so they accumulate property and they are being more financially diverse and financially responsible. And so they want to make sure that their choices to invest in stock markets, invest in real estate, invest in money market accounts is protected. And that goes both ways, men and women. Everybody's getting married a little bit later and people are starting their careers earlier and wanting to make sure that those assets are protected. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody should be entitled to keep their stuff. And a prenup allows for those premarital items, property, assets, things like that, to remain with that person if a divorce does happen.
Okay.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button, I spilled something on it, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X. As well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
So if you, let's say you and your partner both don't really have any assets and you're both just kind of like salaried and you don't have like a, like you go in, I mean, it's funny. I remember watching an episode of like Vanderpump Rules and Tom and Katie go get a prenup and the lawyer's like, you both have no money. So I'm not really sure what you're protecting, but like, so like are prenups for like, if you don't have substantial wealth before you get married, like, are they necessary? Like who are they not necessary for?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, everybody should have a prenup, but if you don't have anything that's growing, like if you don't have any stocks, if you don't have bonds, A lot of people actually have those things. They don't know they have them because their parents started creating those things when they were little and they don't know they have them. But if you don't, I mean, you're going to have to pay for a prenup. So if you don't have anything in any sort of portfolio whatsoever, I mean, I guess there really is no. Split up.
Right. Neither of you did. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was kind of going to ask. Like if I only have $10 in my bank account, do I, cause you obviously prenups cost money, which I don't for the record. I have more than $10. I know I'm literally podcasting.
Got a solid 20 in there.
Out of my bed right now because my one bedroom apartment, my fiance is on a meeting in the other room. But yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask. Like, you know, two questions kind of, do these cost money? I'm sure they do. And then also if you don't have anything right now, can you say like, I still want to get a prenup to protect the stocks? Like I will invest on my, like in the future, or can you not protect what you don't have yet? Does that make sense?
Yes. Prenups do cost. You do have to pay a lawyer to draft a prenup, to review it and advise you on your legal rights and things like that. And every lawyer is different with how much they charge and their services. But you really, there's no point in doing a prenup for potential future items. That's not what a prenup is for. it's really for the present items that you have in your name that you want to say they're mine. They're non-marital items. They are mine before the marriage. If we get divorced, I'm leaving with those and you're leaving with what you came with. And then everything that we acquired during our marriage is now marital property. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, where I practice, is an equitable distribution state versus a community property state, where in a community property state, everything's kind of free game. There is no non-marital versus marital.
No matter when you got it, when you
obtained it. Right. Okay. It all becomes marital. So.
And the other one is what?
I'm sorry, what?
The other option, you said
it's equitable distribution.
Okay. Which
is everything that you had the date before you married, that physical item is non-marital. But if it increases in value during the marriage, that portion becomes marital asset. So with a prenup, you can protect yourself and say, you know, I have this house, for instance, we'll say that we have a house and it's worth $100,000. You have it before your marriage, it's worth $100,000 and you don't have a prenup. Well, the physical structure, if it remains in your name and you don't transfer it to your partner or make it joint, the physical structure is non-marital property. You get to keep that. But if it's increased in value from $100,000 to $200,000, $100,000 now becomes marital property.
I see, but not the value of the entire thing.
No, just the value that increased in value during the marriage.
Okay.
So where prenup becomes helpful is that you would put in there, this house is mine. Your partner, you're waiving, you know, your claim or any interest or right to try and say, I want that increase in value. So you're predetermining that if we get divorced in that separation, the house is already taken care of. It's already going back to the person it belonged to.
I see. And these marital laws, like let's say my fiance and I, we get married in New York and then we move to California. And we get divorced in California. Like which state's laws are the ones that we're bound to in terms of so community that's where, property that's, versus
it's a little tricky because if you are if you aren't contesting the prenup and you're saying that yes, it is most certainly valid and that's what I want to happen, then the prenup.
I'm saying without a prenup, let's say we just get married, like which law, I'm saying which laws are we bound to?
Wherever you get divorced.
Oh, Andrew, okay.
Wherever you get.
I wonder, are there any like people who are like trying to like, you know, maintain assets who facilitate a quick move before they decide to divorce someone? I wonder.
A lot of times you, I know specifically in Pennsylvania within the Commonwealth, you have to live here for at least 6 months prior to filing a divorce here.
Interesting. Smart. Okay. There's I guess that's the data. You hear so many stories about, like, you know, people either hiding assets when they get divorced or, you know, moving them somewhere or doing that. I'm sure that there's like so much, that people do, or maybe that's more just like tabloid kind of like, that's what you hear about. And most people are not that.
That very much happens. You always have that couple that doesn't want to fully disclose, you know, what they have. And that's one thing in a prenup that is kind of the number one big rule, is that there has to be a full financial disclosure on both sides. Mm-hmm. If you don't fully financially disclose everything, that can jam you up in a divorce because you did not disclose that you had these other, even if you didn't think, you know, it's always better to tell your lawyer everything, even if they don't want to know the answer or like the answer, then get that call and say, hey, why didn't you tell me this? That's never a fun thing to do, but it's full financial disclosure, which you would think is a no-brainer, because if you're about to marry somebody, you would assume that they're being completely honest and you're going to be completely honest. Well, that's not
right. It's almost like a good test to see how open they're willing to be with you.
Right.
Do you see people who have been divorced before and kind of gotten like everything taken from them before, like, but because they didn't have a prenup, do you see them being a little more like kind of high strung when it comes to this and really wanting to make sure that the other side is disclosing? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're probably like at this point, anyway.
And I'm speaking solely from my own practice. I practice with my mother and my aunt. I'm a third generation lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I love that.
We're a woman run law firm. And so
we're a woman run media company.
Yeah, my mother's been practicing law for 40 years. She does family law and litigation. So learning from her and seeing what she's done and the clients she's had, I practice in 7 counties where I live. And the majority of serial marriages are still men. Mm-hmm. And they are still hopeless romantics. They swear that the next wife will be different. The next wife is not going to take their money. The next wife is the love of their life, their soulmate. And it's just, you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're like, but you're on wife number 4. Like,
yeah. Oh, right. Wow.
You're all out of love at that point. Like you are an air supply song at that point.
Yeah. And at that point, it's like, I mean, if that were me, I feel like I would be like, no, it's time to finally protect whatever I have left. Because is it true when people don't have a prenup, do they kind of, does that other person for the most part get full 50%, half of whatever that marital property is?
So in Pennsylvania, that is not always the case. Divorces in Pennsylvania, there is no cookie cutter way to do it.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of negotiating that goes on. There's a lot of, you know, well, he got something that's worth 10 grand. Let's find you something that's equal, of equal value or similar. And they, you know, the divorce code looks at other factors in that marriage, how long it is, if anybody has any health issues, if there was an affair, things like that. So it's not always 50-50 mm-hmm. every time. It can be 60-40. It can be 70-30. It can even be 55-45. It all depends on the divorce.
So let's say you don't have any money, but you're set to inherit a lot of money, you know, when a family member passes away or something like that. Or at a certain, let's say you would trust that, at a certain age and you're set to inherit that. Is that something that it's important for someone to have a prenup if they have that?
So not always. the prenup part, if you are set to have an inheritance, that's always kind of hard to put into a prenup because, well, yes, your grandma's telling you that when she passes, she's definitely giving you this money. Well, she may live another 10 years. And in that time frame, you may piss her off and she may write you out. So that inheritance is no longer coming to you. Right. So that part's, you know, never, never so great.
Damn it, grandma.
Yeah. So you can't always, you know, write those into prenups because you don't 100% know. Trusts are normally protected in themselves. That they, you know, if you have an estate lawyer or a trust lawyer that is writing up a trust, they're normally making sure that that language is in there, that if when it is time for you to start taking from that trust, it goes solely to you. And that can be written in there that way. But in Pennsylvania, inheritances that are not made part of the marriage are not marital. Okay. So you don't always need to work, you know, that's not something that needs to be worried about when it comes to, oh, I definitely need a prenup to protect that or a postnup to protect that, because inheritances, as long as they aren't made to the marriage, you're good to go.
Right.
Wait, you just said the word postnup. What is that?
Yeah, so there's two types of marital agreements. There's a prenup and a postnup. And it's just prenuptial agreement, postnuptial agreement, and it's just the way it sounds. A postnup is something that's created after marriage. I can honestly say, in like the 40 years my mother has practiced law, I think I can count on one hand how many postnups she's actually done. They're not really common, because if you're that concerned about wanting to have some sort of agreement to, you know, distribute property in a divorce, you're already thinking about that before you get
married.
Those are conversations you're having before, not after you get married, of like, oh shit, wait.
Probably a lot harder to convince someone after.
I should have thought about this, you know, 6 months ago. Yeah. But that is something that is a legal document.
You know, it's funny. I feel like it's just in talking to people that I know or friends or things like that. Like, the idea of a prenup seems so unromantic to them that a lot of people, I think, are just offended by the very like notion or idea of them, which to me as like kind of a realist seems like a little silly and illogical. I feel like there are a lot of people like who are listening to this podcast or, you know, have been asked for one or kind of like think about the end of our marriage has even begun. So what would you say to those people?
So I think that, well, one, that's not true. I mean, yes, I get it that it sounds very unromantic, but at the same time, it's a smart decision, and it's an educated decision, and it's a logical decision. But again, prenups they just have such a terrible rap because, you know, I mean, Kanye West didn't help us with his song about like, you know, get a prenup or she's going to take all your money. Like,
that's literally all I think about.
Right. That's the prenup world. Because people are still stuck in that antiquated thinking that if we have to have a prenup, it's because there's going to be a problem, and, you know, it is setting you up for disaster. That most certainly is not the case anymore. And I think people need to start having intelligent conversations about a prenup. And I think it can just be approached as, when you're speaking to your future spouse, hey, I have no intention of getting a divorce. I'm sure you don't either, but in the event that we do, because that is the reality, I don't know, I can't keep track of the statistic. I'm sure it's somewhere between 60%
I think.
I feel like it varies depending on
who. It changes every month. Yeah. And now with COVID, it's really through the roof. I have, you know, I have a career. I have things in my name that, you know, I have built myself. You have things in your name that you've built yourself or your family has built for you, and vice versa, or whatever. Let's make sure that if something were to happen, that we are leaving with what we're coming in with.
Right.
And that anything that we create together in our marriage, that's fair game to say, You know,
yeah.
That's what we'll divvy up. And that's what we can fight about if need be. I mean, you know, that's marriage right there. Anything that you make during that marriage, that should be marital property. And that's just a very, that's the way you just have to look at, like, it's a reciprocal thing. I want to protect me and you should want to protect you. And that's what a prenup does.
Right.
When you word it like that, truly, it really helps because it doesn't sound as like, you know, when we get divorced, but like when you say like, let's look at the realistic side of life and society, if God forbid there ever is like, you know, if you're a woman who's worked hard to like invest and earn or a man, I keep like siding with women because we are one, but you know, if you've worked hard to invest in stocks and Jordana, for example, is a founder of a company, like, exactly. So not saying Jordana should definitely get, but you know, like if you've worked hard to get to where you are. So like you said, like anything is that we make together, fair game for both of us, but whatever I came in with, I would like to, if God forbid it comes to that point, I would like to go out with.
And if you're a business owner or have investment properties of any kind, you know, big or small, I know around here where I practice, a lot of younger people between the ages of 25 and 35 are buying fixer-uppers and they're flipping them. Mm-hmm. Well, that becomes a lucrative business.
Right.
Even if it's just a hobby, that becomes a lucrative, you know, source of income that in a divorce, all that stuff is free game. If anything is done during that marriage, but it was created before and it's got a value, well, now it's free game. And so it's prenups. If you own a business or you have a little hobby on the side that's generating income, you want to make sure that's protected, because if it has a value in any way, that's going to become marital property if you're a PA person.
Right. And I love the way that you like phrased it. I agree with Nicole. I think that's like a really rational way of putting it. And also you make it kind of sound like insurance, and like no one buys a house and is like, well, why are you buying insurance? Like, why are you thinking about bad things happening to our house?
Right.
It's like, because you never know. And I mean, as a business owner, I've signed and negotiated a fair amount of contracts in my day. And it's always much easier to figure out the terms of the contract when you're both are in like a really, really positive together, because you're both like the most rational. And I think that's also like a really powerful point. It's like when you're getting, if you, God forbid, are getting divorced, like you're not in a state where people are usually not their most rational, like level-headed selves. But I think before, if you're like, oh, this is not someone I love, someone I respect, I'm going into this. And then you can make those decisions in a much more like productive way that respects both people.
Right. And a prenup is just that, it is a contract. It's two people that are entering into a legally binding agreement. And the biggest thing that I can say about prenups that is, other than, you know, be completely honest with your financials and fully disclose everything that you have, is make sure you're allowing yourself enough time.
Okay.
If you 3 days before your wedding are throwing prenups at, you know, your spouse to sign and, you know, it's all done in a panic and it's like, oh, we got to hurry up and do it, you're going to have a problem.
Right.
If down the road you have to enforce it, you're going to have an issue. If there's something that, you know, they felt pressured to do it, you know, they were under, you know, duress or something like that, you're going to have
interesting.
A problem. So make sure you're leaving. Sorry. And there's no amount of time per se that, you know, is required, but you want to make sure that you're giving each side enough time to get their documents when it comes to their financials. And there's enough time for each, and I cannot stress this enough, each one to get a lawyer.
That was going to be my next question.
Each person should have their own representation. If you have a lawyer telling you that, oh, I can represent both of you, run. No. Big red flag. Big problem. Especially if there is an imbalance in financials.
Right.
Get your own lawyer, make sure you trust this person, and make sure that they are going to represent you in the best light and give you the advice that you need. Because if you both are saying, you know, hey, we have our own stuff, we want to come in this together, you want to make sure that everything's kosher that way. But if there's an imbalance, you want to make sure that if you are the weaker party, that you're not getting completely had and signing away all your rights when, you know, down the road, if you're the weaker party, and I don't like, maybe I should say weaker party. If you're the
less financially
robust
party.
Yeah. If you are that standard, you know, wealthy husband,
right.
You know, not as wealthy wife, and we're just,
you're less earning.
Yeah. Less earning.
Power.
Yeah.
Sure.
You want to make sure that if you enter into a marriage and, you know, in your prenup, you say, oh yeah, I'll waive my right to alimony. I'll waive my right to spousal support. I don't need any of that. Okay, fine. If that's what he wants, no problem. Well, say you don't work for 20 years. Say you don't work for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 30 years out of the job, you know, world is
tough to get back
like,
in.
That's like putting the nail on the coffin. You're going to have a hell of a hard time getting back in that. Yeah. Well, you financially depended your entire life on your spouse. And now you need a divorce. Oh shit. You just 30 years ago, you signed away your right.
Right. Yeah.
To have alimony. Well, for 30 years of alimony, or for 30 years of marriage, you're getting a good 10, 15 years of alimony. Well, you just waive that and now you have no money.
Wow.
Do you see that a lot?
Not so much anymore.
Probably used to be.
Yeah. Not so much anymore. Like I said, 20, 30 years ago when, you know, the prenup was set that way that, you know, you waived everything because you were going to be in this, you know, amazing marriage because you weren't going to take any of their money. That most certainly happened a lot. And there was tons of case law on that where, you know, you'd have this poor indentured wife who now has nothing, had millions, right. You know, her husband was making it all, now has nothing. But nowadays, no, I'm not seeing that as much because people are either A, having their own career, or B, being a little more smart when it comes to just waiving their right to alimony or spousal support. And they're putting in those provisions that allow for negotiation to happen if a divorce happens.
Do you ever see a case where there is not a prenup put in place? And then when the divorce happens though, the other party's like, oh no, I won't take half of this person's wealth. Does that make sense?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like, I like to think if I had like thousands and thousands of saved and Mike and I we're getting married next year, or COVID ruined our wedding this year.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
But I like to think if we didn't get a prenup and like, let's say I had a ton saved up, that if we did ever, God forbid, get divorced, then he would just be like, it's okay, you can keep that. Like, I won't take your marital property, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
no.
I don't know if that's the thing, if people do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, every divorce is different. Not every divorce is the wedding crasher sitting on the other side of the table fighting about, you know, what was it?
Points?
Flight points or whatever it was. Yeah. Not every
those are worth a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I have had a divorce where I had a woman who I thought she wrote me a grocery list. Cause it said ice cream scoop on it. And I thought, everything was like in the middle, it was like two columns of like stuff, like normal stuff. And then right in the middle was like a third column and it said ice cream scoop. And I thought, oh, she must've thought this was a grocery list and needed an ice cream scoop. So I called her and she said, oh no, like I want the ice cream scoop. And
how valuable.
And they'd been married 30, 40 years. Tons of money. He'd worked in the oil and gas or something like that field. And she was older and she didn't care about, she already knew the money was coming to her. So she didn't really care about that. But I said, you know, I think you gave me your grocery. Oh no, I want the ice cream scoop. I said, well, why? Cause he loves ice cream.
Wow. That's petty.
Wow.
And I said, well, going to stop them from getting a fork or a spoon or, Christ, a knife to get the ice cream out? It's the principle. And so you have those, you most certainly have those really petty back and forth, but then you also have the couple that is just like, look, you go your way, I'll go out. We just amicably don't like each other anymore. And we would just like to divorce. And I'm cool with walking away with my stuff. And he's cool walking away with his stuff. And that works.
Like Derek and Addison and Grey's Anatomy. You guys seen, they're like, she can have the Hamptons house. I'll have the West Village apartment. Like they're very, I'm like, that was cleaner than it would be in real life, but it's also a TV show. Right. So what were you going to say, Jordana?
If you are the less financially robust person, I would imagine it would be harder for you to hire your own lawyer or to hire as good of a lawyer as more financially strong person. So like, do you feel like that's something worth like highly investing in, even if it's something that's like not, that would be much harder for you to do? Cause you're saying each person should have their own lawyer, right?
Right. Typically, and I will just speak from experience, it costs less for, I don't charge the same for a prenup as if I would do if I'm representing you in a divorce, because I'm just writing up a document and I'm advising you on your rights. And the amount of work that needs to get done for a prenup versus you need to hire me for a divorce is very different. And I know in the counties I practice, for the most part, that's what goes on here, is that the fee to pay a lawyer to do a prenup and to get that advice is a lot less expensive than if you have to hire
me. Do you see sometimes the more financially strong partner sort of paying for a separate lawyer for their future spouse?
I mean, are you talking about, like in a prenup?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were presented with the idea of a prenup and you know that, hey, I have a legal right that I can go get a lawyer and I can have financial legal representation, but hey, I need some cash. I don't see anything wrong saying to your future spouse, hey, you want me to sign that prenup? I want to make sure I'm not getting, bulldozed here. Can you pay for my lawyer?
I mean, I feel like people have to sometimes pay for their spouse's like divorce lawyer. Like that's right. If the person.
Yeah. As long as nobody really cares where the money comes from. If I'm hired to represent you, I don't really care where the cash comes from. As long as I only speak to you and our attorney client relationship is just me and you.
That's kind of a good idea, like for people. If you get asked to sign a prenup and you're like taken aback by it and you're like, what the, maybe you just say like, oh, but if you pay for it, I will. If you pay for the lawyer.
I need some money to help me go get a lawyer to make sure that I'm not getting hacked.
Yeah. So for anybody,
I think that's fair if you're going to be combining some assets anyway afterwards, and like they care about you and want you to, again, like you're going into it with like a respectful vision. I think it wouldn't be crazy to ask someone who wanted their assets protected because they made so much more money to help you make sure you're protected too.
Venmo me some cash so I can write a check to a lawyer pay with a credit card.
I remember this scene in Sex and the City where Charlotte's supposed to be like signing her prenup with Trey, and he puts in there, I was always wondering if this was like a legal thing where they put in there that if she had a boy, she would receive like X amount of money, and if she had a girl, she would receive like less, or like all this hypothetical stuff about like the children that she would potentially have. Like, is that
so much weight, or if you don't sleep with me so many times, none of that is,
or if you cheat on me, you get nothing, or something like that?
No, none of that's enforceable.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. See, I feel like cheating should be. It could be an incentive not to.
Well, you said in Pennsylvania, they sort of take that into account.
In a divorce. They take, especially if you don't have a prenup and you're just doing a standard divorce and you have an affair and then you go and say, hey, I need spousal support, the court can determine that you are not entitled to it because you had an affair. If they can prove that you had an affair, then you're not entitled to spousal support. So there's always ways. around stuff like that. But yeah. No, like you have a boy versus a girl now, none of that's enforceable.
Right. Wow.
Do you ever see cases? Yeah, right. Sex in the City. We need to dispute that.
Well, that's the stuff that makes good TV.
Exactly. And the more I think about it, prenups are like all over TV shows. So now when I watch them and see prenup moments, I will know the exact details that goes into it. I was going to ask, do you ever see a situation where like two people get a prenup, but then like, you know, years into their marriage, they're like, you know what? We don't need this anymore. We're really in love. Off the table. Let's end the prenup. Is that a thing? Yeah.
You can certainly erase a prenup. I guess that's the easiest term to say. You can certainly do it. If same way you erase any other contract, if you don't want, you know, between two people, you decide, hey, you know what? I don't think we need this anymore. You can have a doc, you know, you can rescind it. I don't think it happens that often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times people forget they had a prenup because it's not something that you file in the court system. It's just something that's kept either with yourself or with the lawyers that did it and then brought back if need be. But yeah, you can certainly rescind it. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. To me, I would
never advise somebody to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like, that's great. You're in love, but like, I'm not in my business. Right. I'm not in the business of love. If I was in the business of love, I would have no clients. None.
Very true.
If I told my clients, oh, you should definitely get back together. Like, you don't need a divorce. I would have no clients.
Right. That's not what they're coming to you for. No. That's the marital counselor before you're
right. Yeah. I'm not in rainbows and unicorns when it comes to happiness. Everybody's coming to me, their world's coming to an end, and they want me to tell them that their story is not the craziest story I've ever heard, when sometimes it is, but like the world isn't going to come to a crashing halt.
Right.
I think therapist a lot more than I am a lawyer.
That makes sense. I would imagine. If you come into a marriage with children or like anything pre-existing, that it seems like very irresponsible to me to get married again with kids and not have a prenup, because like then you're sort of, there's people that would be like you'd be supporting or getting your money that you could potentially putting in danger, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah. If you are, and again, I'm solely a Pennsylvania lawyer, so what I'm speaking about is really what I only see in Pennsylvania. If you have children and they are minors under the age of 18 and you remarry and there's no prenup, where you can find an issue is in Pennsylvania, if you die without a will or a prenup, I guess you could say, everything automatically goes to your spouse unless there are other documents that say otherwise, like life insurance policies. If, you know, the beneficiary is a child, very different, where it's, you know, clearly identifying who gets what. Other than that, it's going to go directly to your spouse.
Wow.
So as you can tell, where that's going to get a little fishy is, for instance,
you have kids, right?
We're going back to the stereotypical situation. You have a husband who had children. And now he's got a new wife. Well, husband dies, new wife's getting everything, and those kids are
sitting
there.
That's when you see those fights, right?
See, I would pray and hope that the new wife would be like, no, it's okay. Let me just not take this.
Right, I'll take care of you. You always hope that. They never do.
Oh my God, I can
right.
see that.
Because then they start thinking about like, you know, what they've sacrificed and what they've done and like,
right. So
and all that.
If you are on marriage number two or even marriage number one, and you have children to a previous relationship, you want to make sure that some legal document is put in place to protect your children, to make sure they 100% get stuff, whether that be in a prenup or a will or, you know, clearly outlined policies or trusts or something like that. You want to make sure that those children are protected, because if not, they may not get anything.
And when you were talking about alimony before also, is that, you said there's like rules based on like how long you were married and your quality of life and like how long do you get that for?
Right.
How does that work?
Alimony is what you get after you are legally divorced. So a divorce decree has come down from the court saying you and the other person are dissolved of your marriage. And you can now, you're free to, you know, remarry if need be and live your life. In Pennsylvania, we, in my area where I practice, we stick to the 1-3 rule. So for every 3 years of marriage, you get about 1 year of alimony, give or take. Hmm. That's just the generalized way we look at it. Just to, you know, say, hey, you've been married 20 years, you're getting this amount, or you've been married 30 years, you're getting this. Obviously, if you were married for a year, you're not getting 10 years of alimony. It's just not happening. So the length of your marriage matters. If there are health issues that might require maybe longer alimony or a higher amount, those types of things are looked at. It's truly a case by case, you know, situation by situation basis, because, well, one person could probably pay $500 for 10 years. Another person couldn't. So you can't have set rules when it comes to how much, and, you know, because everyone's different, but,
and isn't it when the child turns a certain age, then the one of the
I think that's for child support.
Child support.
Which is different than alimony?
Yes, alimony. So there's child support, which is you pay for your child. You have an obligation to pay for your child until they're 18 or graduate high school, whichever one happens later. That's child support. That falls under the realm of custody and that kind of world. Then there's spousal support, which is what you get while you are litigating the divorce. You're still legally married, but you've filed the divorce complaint. You're going through those motions and you need some financial contribution because you can't maintain your standard of living because now you're on like one income type deal. Once you're actually legally divorced, spousal support stops. And it can turn into alimony.
Gotcha.
So just, it's okay. Like the same thing, just different verbiage.
Gotcha.
And alimony is spouse to spouse.
Okay.
Right. And then so what if you get remarried and you're still getting alimony? Does that stop?
Yes. It stops in Pennsylvania. If you start living with somebody else, it stops.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I bet people try to beat the system then and not move in together yet. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I can see that.
Oh, that's like all my questions. Do you have anything else that you feel like we haven't covered that they're like about to get married or going into something?
I mean, like I said, I'm a huge, huge proponent of prenups. I think they are a valid and helpful tool that any intelligent human being would consider. I think we need to remove the stereotype and the stigma of what a prenup is and be able to have those open conversations with your former, with your spouse or, you know, future spouse to say, hey, I think we need to talk about, you know, the not so fun conversation about if in fact we do get divorced, what's going to happen. And a prenup just helps predetermine and really it actually saves on litigation a lot because your marital estate goes from say 100 things to now 50 things that you have to divvy up type idea. And it saves on that. And it's just a smart thing to enter into if you are a career person. If you're a professional, like a lawyer, a doctor, a CPA, an MBA, anything like that, a nurse, anything with an advanced degree, if you own businesses, if you own investment properties, if you have stocks, if you have anything other than like just a plain old checking account, you may want to, even if you have silly things like a vast, if you're an avid hunter and you have a vast gun collection, that's something big in my area that because we live in Western Pennsylvania, people have 30, 40, 50 guns, hunting rifles that they have inherited from family. But guess right. what? Those guns, they increase in value. So things like that, you want to make sure you're, even if, you know, collections of anything.
Can you protect like your 401k or your retirement?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, this conversation is truly making me, like, I might go outside to Mike right now, especially because he started a meeting.
Draw up the paperwork.
Yes, I might go draw up the paperwork. I mean, truly, before this conversation, I was like, I could never ask Mike for a prenup. How dare, I would never, it's so unromantic. But like, now I'm seeing, like, it's not like I'm, you know, rolling in stocks, but,
right. but you like wanna- you said. But something you may have now, like for instance, a 401k, you know, you may have just started it. Cause if you're Alex's age, you're younger than me. So you might've just started it.
Yeah, yeah.
And in 30 years, that's going to grow if you keep contributing to it.
Totally. Well,
that's now fair game. And that may be something you say, you know, hey, what, it's mine. I'm contributing to it. I'd like to leave with it. And that protects you in the long run, because now when you're, you know, God forbid, someone ever has to get a divorce, you're not completely shut out of luck.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that's very smart. I think more women, again, like you said in the very beginning, just to bring it full circle, are earning more money and should protect themselves. And I think it's just like we were talking about this whole time, like now's the best time to make sure you can have those open conversations, like, and the best time to figure out what will happen if something ends is while it's still going very well.
Right. Cause I mean, I understand I'm, you know, planning a wedding is very stressful in itself, but, and, you know, you kind of want to push that aside. Like, I don't need any more stress, but that's a very real conversation. And if you have it early in your engagement or in your relationship, it's beneficial long-term. So you're not like, you know, a month before the wedding running around trying to find lawyers and trying to do all this financial disclosure. And you're trying to, you know, finish your wedding planning and stuff like that. Have those conversations early, and they gotta be, it's gotta be a real conversation.
Right. And that's a good test for if you can have those real conversations in your actual marriage.
You can't have a conversation about a prenup. You might have some issues.
I agree. I think that it's a good marker for how well you communicate and how well you compromise and how well you can, you know, work things out. But thank you so much for coming on today. I feel like all of my personal questions have been answered. And so I'm sure the listeners also feel that way.
If you have more, you know how to get a hold of me. I'd be more than happy to answer your questions.
Great. Guys, if you have any more questions about this, please email brides@betches.com. And we would love to have you back.
That was great. That was so fun. And I do have to thank my girlfriend, Alex, for introducing me to Nicole and setting this up. So I do have to give her a little shout out because she's so great doing that.
Yes. We love our lawyer connections here at Betches.
And we're everywhere. You need a lawyer in some realm, we can find you one.
Yes.
Awesome.
You never know.
All right, well,
thank you again.
Until next time. Till death do us part.
Betches.